Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you've tuned in because today we're diving into one of the most fascinating and exam-rich topics in GCSE chemistry, the reactivity series, and the extraction of metals. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Metals, extraction, sounds a bit dry. But trust me, once you understand why we can find gold lying around in rivers, but have to use enormous industrial furnaces to get aluminum out of the ground, this topic becomes genuinely brilliant. It connects chemistry to the real world in a way that very few topics do. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to explain the reactivity series, describe how we extract metals industrially, write electrode half equations for electrolysis, and, crucially, avoid the common mistakes that cost candidates marks every single year. So grab your revision notes, maybe a highlighter, and let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. The reactivity series. The reactivity series is a ranking of metals and a couple of nonmetals in order of how vigorously they react with substances like water, acids, and oxygen. At the very top, you've got potassium and sodium, metals so reactive they literally catch fire when they touch water. At the bottom, you've got gold and platinum, which are so unreactive that they've been found as pure metals in the Earth's crust for thousands of years. That's why ancient civilizations used gold for jewelry. It doesn't corrode, it doesn't tarnish, it just stays beautiful. The order to remember, from most to least reactive, is potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, aluminum, then carbon as a reference point, then zinc, iron, tin, lead, then hydrogen as another reference, then copper, silver, gold, platinum. A brilliant mnemonic for this is, "Please stop calling me a clever zebra. I felt like humans can smell good perfume." Each first letter gives you P for potassium, S for sodium, C for calcium, M for magnesium, A for aluminum, C for carbon, Z for zinc, I for iron, T for tin, L for lead, H for hydrogen, C for copper, S for silver, G for gold, P for platinum. Learn that mnemonic and you've got the series locked in. Now, how do we know this order? We establish it through displacement reactions. The key principle is a more reactive metal will displace a less reactive metal from a solution of its salt. So if you drop a piece of zinc into copper sulfate solution, the zinc displaces the copper. You see the blue solution fade and copper metal forms on the zinc. That's because zinc is higher in the reactivity series than copper. Zinc is more reactive, so it pushes the copper out. If you tried it the other way, dropping copper into zinc sulfate solution, nothing would happen because copper is less reactive than zinc. Examiners love asking you to deduce the reactivity order from experimental data. They'll give you a table of displacement reactions and ask you to rank the metals. The method is simple. If metal A displaces metal B, then A is more reactive than B. Build up the order step by step from the data. Now let's talk about redox. And this is where OIL RIG comes in. You absolutely must know this mnemonic. OIL RIG stands for oxidation is loss, reduction is gain of electrons. In displacement reactions, the more reactive metal loses electrons. It is oxidized. The metal ion in solution gains electrons. It is reduced. So in the zinc and copper sulfate example, zinc loses 2 electrons and becomes zinc ions. That's oxidation. Copper ions gain 2 electrons and become copper metal. That's reduction. The zinc is the reducing agent because it causes the reduction of copper ions. Examiners will ask you to identify oxidation and reduction in terms of both oxygen transfer and electron transfer. In terms of oxygen, oxidation is gaining oxygen, reduction is losing oxygen. In the blast furnace, iron oxide loses oxygen to become iron, so the iron oxide is reduced. Carbon gains oxygen to become carbon dioxide, so carbon is oxidized. Both definitions are valid and examiners will credit either, but you must be precise about which species is being oxidized or reduced. Right, let's move on to extraction methods because this is where the reactivity series becomes incredibly practical. The rule is beautifully logical. The more reactive a metal is, the harder it is to extract because it holds onto its electrons more tightly and doesn't want to be reduced. Metals above carbon in the reactivity series, potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, aluminum, are too reactive to be reduced by carbon. They require electrolysis. Metals below carbon, zinc, iron, tin, lead, can be extracted by heating with carbon in a process called carbon reduction. Metals below hydrogen, copper, silver, gold, are so unreactive they're often found as the pure metal in nature, or can be extracted very easily. The most important industrial example of carbon reduction is the blast furnace for extracting iron. Iron ore, mainly hematite, which is iron 3, oxide, Fe2O3, is mixed with coke, which is carbon, and limestone, which is calcium carbonate. Hot air is blasted in at the bottom. The coke burns to form carbon dioxide. Then, the carbon dioxide reacts with more coke to form carbon monoxide. It's the carbon monoxide that actually does the reduction of the iron ore. The iron is reduced, it loses oxygen. The limestone is there to remove acidic impurities like silicon dioxide, forming calcium silicate, which we call slag. Slag floats on top of the molten iron and is tapped off separately. When you describe the blast furnace in an exam, you must mention both the reduction of iron ore and the removal of impurities as slag. Missing either of these is a very common reason candidates lose marks. Now for aluminum. Aluminum is above carbon in the reactivity series, so we can't use carbon to reduce it. Instead, we use electrolysis of molten aluminum oxide, also called alumini. The aluminum oxide is dissolved in molten cryolite to lower the melting point, making the process more energy efficient and economical. Carbon electrodes are used. At the cathode, the negative electrode, aluminum ions gain electrons and are deposited as liquid aluminum. At the anode, the positive electrode, oxide ions lose electrons and form oxygen gas. The oxygen reacts with the carbon anodes, burning them away, so they need to be replaced regularly. This is an important economic consideration. Now, electrolysis of aqueous solutions is trickier, and this is where many candidates go wrong. When the electrolyte is aqueous, water is present, and water partially dissociates into hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions. This means there are more ions competing to be discharged at the electrodes. At the cathode in an aqueous solution, if the metal ion is below hydrogen in the reactivity series, like copper, the metal is deposited. If the metal ion is above hydrogen, like sodium or potassium, hydrogen gas is produced instead, because hydrogen ions are more easily reduced than these very reactive metal ions. At the anode in an aqueous solution, if the solution contains halide ions, chloride, bromide, iodide, the halogen is produced. If there are no halide ions, oxygen is produced from the discharge of hydroxide ions from water. So for aqueous sodium chloride, at the cathode, hydrogen gas is produced. At the anode, chlorine gas is produced. This is actually how we make chlorine industrially, incredibly important for water purification and making plastics. Right, let's talk exam technique because knowing the chemistry is only half the battle. Tip number one, always check whether the electrolyte is molten or aqueous before you predict the products. This is the single most common error in electrolysis questions. Molten means only the ions from the compound are present. Aqueous means water ions are also competing. Get this wrong and you'll lose marks even if you know the half equations perfectly. Tip number two, when writing half equations, make sure your charges balance. Examiners are very strict about this. For the cathode reaction in aluminum extraction, L3 plus plus 3E minus gives L3 positive charges plus 3 negative charges gives 0, balanced. For the anode, 2O2 minus gives O2 plus 4E minus, 4 negative charges on the left, 4 negative charges on the right, balanced. Always check. Tip number three, state symbols. Candidates frequently lose marks by omitting state symbols or using them incorrectly. In the blast furnace, iron is produced as a liquid, so it's FeL, not FeSe. In electrolysis of molten aluminum oxide, the aluminum produced is also liquid. Oxygen gas is O2G. Be precise. Tip number four, when a question asks you to evaluate the extraction method for a metal, you need to consider both economic and environmental factors. Electrolysis is expensive because it uses large amounts of electrical energy. Carbon reduction is cheaper but produces carbon dioxide, contributing to climate change. Phytoextraction, using plants to absorb metal ions from low-grade ores, is a newer, more sustainable alternative for some metals, but it's slow and not yet economically viable at large scale. Tip number five, for 6-mark questions on this topic, structure your answer clearly. If asked to describe and explain the extraction of aluminium, a strong answer will name the ore and the process, explain why electrolysis is needed rather than carbon reduction, describe what happens at each electrode with half equations, and mention the role of cryolite. That's your route to full marks. Okay, quick fire quiz time. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what is the name of the mnemonic for remembering electron transfer and redox reactions? OIL rig, oxidation, is loss reduction is gain. Question two, at which electrode is a metal deposited during electrolysis? The cathode, the negative electrode. Question three, why is cryolite used in the extraction of aluminium? To lower the melting point of aluminium oxide, reducing energy costs? Question four, in a displacement reaction, if metal X displaces metal Y from a solution, what does this tell us about their reactivity? Metal X is more reactive than metal Y. Question five, what gas is produced at the anode during the electrolysis of aqueous sodium chloride? Chlorine gas. Question six, name the two products tapped from the bottom of a blast furnace, molten iron and slag. Brilliant work getting through all of that. Let's do a quick summary of the key points to take away. One, the reactivity series ranks metals from most to least reactive. Use the mnemonic, please stop calling me a clever zebra. I thought like humans can smell good perfume. Two, oil rig, oxidation, is loss of electrons, reduction is gain of electrons. Displacement reactions are redox reactions. Three, metals above carbon in the reactivity series are extracted by electrolysis. Metals below carbon are extracted by carbon reduction. Unreactive metals are found native. We live in the blast furnace, iron ore is reduced by carbon monoxide, limestone removes impurities as slag. Always mention both in exam answers. Five, in electrolysis, always check molten versus aqueous. In aqueous solutions, water ions compete. Hydrogen may form at the cathode instead of the metal. Six, aluminium extraction uses electrolysis of molten aluminium oxide dissolved in cryolite. Carbon anodes burn away and must be replaced. That's everything for today's episode. You've covered the reactivity series, redox, the blast furnace, and electrolysis. That's a huge chunk of the specification in one go. Well done for sticking with it. Keep practicing those half equations, keep using OIL rig, and remember, every mark you earn in chemistry is a mark you've earned through understanding, not just memorizing. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.